sing this morning. Oh, how I love Him. How I adore Him. By bread, my sunshine, my all in all. The Let's sing it to Him this morning, down from His glory, ever-living story. My God and Savior came, and Jesus. Born in a manger, to His own a stranger, a man of sorrows, tears and agony. Yes, amen. I breathe my sunshine, my all in all. The great Creator became my Hallelujah. What condescension, bringing us redemption, that in the dead of night, not one faint hope inside. Gracious tender, in His side is splendor, stooping to woe, to win, to save my soul. Hallelujah. How I adore Him. Worship Him this morning, saints. My breath, my sunshine, my all in all. The great Creator became my Savior, and all God's fullness dwelleth in Him. Without Let's ring it out now. Oh, how I love Him. Yes, Lord, we love You. We praise You. I adore Him. By breath, by sunshine. Hallelujah. By all in all, the great Creator became my Savior, and all God's hallelujah. What a wonderful song this morning. I believe the prophet of God said that was his favorite song down from his glory. Amen. Let's sing the song, He Became Me. He became me that I might become him by grace. That I might become Him by grace. For He took my place, that I through His love might take it. For He that I might become Him by grace. Lord, we thank You this morning. Yes, He became me that I might become Him by grace. Yes, He that I might become Him by grace. Hallelujah. For He took my place, that I through His love might take it. For He that I might become Him by grace. So thankful for that this morning. Amen. We want to welcome each one to the service today and just appreciate each one that's come out this morning, especially for our visitors. We want to welcome each one of you today. Pray that God will just bless you in a special way. Those listening by way of internet, pray that you would receive a special blessing this morning. And, you know, if we just enter in and yield ourselves this morning, I believe that God will give us, really, we won't go away regretting that we came. I believe He'll give us a special blessing this morning. Amen. Good to see each one this morning. We're going to take our prayer requests. Please remember Sister Molly has a stomach virus. We want to remember Sister Molly this morning as we pray. Also, Sister Mary Ann's back and hip. I believe she's with us this morning. We still want to remember her in prayer. We have several families away. The Buchanans are away this morning. We miss them. We want to remember them in prayer. We want to remember Maggie Franklin, Brother Joel, Sister Ruthie's little daughter in Arizona. Remember little Maggie Franklin this morning. We I want to remember Brother Fulcher as he recovers. He's home from the hospital, but he's weak. So I want to remember Brother Fulcher. I want to remember the Irish family that's away. God would just be with them and take care of them. We want to remember Carrie Whitlock's having a problem with her back. I want to remember her this morning. Also, Brother David is working. Also, we want to remember Sister Melanie Cross in Michigan. So, all of these this morning, I have one note that says, thanks, dear precious brothers and sisters. Thanks very much for praying for Sister Sheba. Her shoulder surgery went successful by God's grace. So, we're thankful for that this morning. We trust in Him for the things that we need. Whether it be our health or what it may be, I believe He is concerned. I believe He's interested in what we need. I'm going to ask Brother Anwar to come this morning if he would. It's good to have him back, him and the family. Good to see them this morning. And I'm going to ask him to come and pray over the offering this morning. Amen. Pray over the request this morning. Maybe I'll get something right in a little bit. God bless you, brothers. Appreciate you.
Let's bow our hearts. Praise God. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we magnify Your wonderful, precious name, Lord Jesus. The name that is above all the names, Lord Jesus. And Lord Jesus, how wonderful it is to come in Your presence, Lord Jesus. And Lord Jesus, to worship You and to honor Your worthy name, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Jesus, for this privilege, Lord. Lord Jesus, thank You for all Your mercies upon Your people, Lord Jesus. And Lord Jesus, with the faith and trust, we all combine our faith and trust and bring all these needs in front of You, Lord Jesus. Believing that Your one touch can make change in the lives of the people, Lord Jesus. So we ask, Lord Jesus, that You give to Your people one touch of Your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, right now, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. That, Lord Jesus, all these brothers and sisters that are suffering with the sicknesses and the physical problems may be healed in Jesus' name, Lord. They may be well, and we may magnify Your name, because we know You are Jehovah Jireh, the provider. Lord Jesus, those who are away, Lord Jesus, I bring them in Your care, Lord. Bless them where they are and bring them home safely, Lord Jesus. Ask Your blessing upon the whole service, Lord Jesus. We all came to listen from You, Lord. We all came to bless Your name, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, speak through Your servant, Lord. And bless our worship, Lord Jesus. Bless our time together, Lord Jesus. Once again, ask Your all blessing in Your precious Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Take up your cross, follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed. Say that you know it. Count up the cross. Follow Him. be seated at this time. Amen. Praise the Lord. I believe we're going to try to sing a song this morning. Song means a lot to me. Song that tells of our heavenly place.
We've been singing this probably, well, getting close to 50 years now. But you know, the words to it just mean so much to me, particularly that last verse when it says, when at last we see the face of Jesus, and all the other images are going to fade away then when we see His face. Y'all pray. Country where no twilight shadows deepen, unending day where night will never be. What will it be when we get?
Amen. That'll be a reality someday soon. Let's stand as our ushers come this morning. Amen. Let's sing that song, Heaven's Jubilee. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Mike, if you'd pray over the offering this morning. Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me. Yours is as we share. What rejoicing there will be when the saints arrive, headed for that jubilee yonder in the skies. And oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Sing that now I almost see all the same men rising for the jubilee that is just ahead. In the twinkling of an eye, change with Him to me. All the living saints should fly to that jubilee. And oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Ages long, heaven's jubilee. And oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. When the Savior calls, I will answer. When He calls for me, I will hear. When the Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Yes, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. If my heart is right when He calls me, if my heart is right, I will hear. If my heart is right when He calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Yes, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere, somewhere listening for my name. And if my robe is white when He calls me, my robe is white, I will hear. If my robe is white when He calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere. This morning, let's sing the chorus. We worship you, Almighty God. Trust that that's your heart this morning. He deserves all the worship, all the praise and glory today. Amen. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none.
Again, and I want everybody to sing it, and I want you to realize and remember this morning that this is your moment to be able to worship Him in spirit and in truth, and to be able to lift your hand. I mean, this is what it's about, isn't it? The woman at the well said, the day is coming when they'll worship Him in spirit and in truth. And you know what? We're here. We've arrived. So you know what? This is not just another Sunday. This is a moment when we have to be able to enter into His courts with praise and shake off everything else. Shake off last week. And don't worry about next week. And lift your hands to Him and just say, Lord Jesus, I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I'm here. I'm in the right place in the right time, doing the right thing with the right people. And I have no reservations this morning. And I don't want you to have any reservations at all. And smile and be thankful in your heart and just say, Lord, I'm glad I'm here. Are you glad you're here? Let's sing it again this morning. Let's ring it out together. I worship you, Almighty God. Lord, there is none like you. Thank you, Jesus. I worship you, Prince of Peace. That is what I long to do, and I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God, for there is none like you. Jesus, we lift our voices to you this morning in thanksgiving and in worship, Lord, appreciating all you have done for us and how you have led us and how you have brought us to this place. And now in the name of Jesus Christ, we commit every need into your hands, Lord. We commit every burden, every sick person, Lord. Everyone is reaching out to you this morning in faith. We commit them into your care. Our needs are great, but your prophet said, Lord, you are an inexhaustible fountain of life. And we believe that today, Lord. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're the one that opened up the Red Sea. You're the one, Lord, that turned the water into wine. You are a great supplier. You are still Jehovah Jireh today. Have your way among us, I ask, Lord. Minister to each and every heart and soul. Lord, may you enrich this presence, Lord, with your person today. Come among us, I pray, and teach us, and speak to us, and minister to our hearts, Lord. We give you this day. We bind our hearts together in faith as a unified group of people, Lord, that believe you and trust you. And we ask, Lord, that you would have your way. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray all of these things. Amen and amen. You're singing really good this morning, so let's sing I Stand in Awe of You, and let's just sing one more. Is that all right? Nobody minds singing this morning? All right, one more little chorus. You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful. Nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description. Again now, and I stand in awe of you. Yes, I stand in awe of you, holy God, to whom all praise is due. I stand. Shake hands with somebody nearby, and you may take your seats this morning. Just wish them God's blessing. Let's open up our screen here, if you will. And thank you, musicians. That'll be just fine. We'll let you take your seats this morning. I welcome all of you to the house of the Lord this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's an honor and a privilege to have you all here. And we have several that are missing. And we always miss them, but it's great to have all of you here today. Good to have the cooks here today. God bless you. And good to have Brother Anwar back and the Clavels back. Good to have them here. And good to have Sister Rosie here this morning. God bless you, out of hospital and here today. Good to have all the Walters family here today. And we appreciate them very much. And just each and every one of you, may the Lord richly bless you. Now, I need you just this morning, if you will. I got an echo up here. I don't know if you do, but I got an echo up here. I need you all this morning now just to take a deep breath and just kind of just relax here this morning, and because we've made it. We made it through the week. With all the things that went on this last week, we made it. We're here. And I've got some things that I need to tell you this morning, so I need you to just kind of focus in with me here and follow as I give you some updates here. And I just wanted to say that last weekend we were away in Connecticut, as most of you know, and ministering up there. And I'm going to ask you, if you will, to remember those saints up there. They're without a shepherd this morning, but I found among them a really wonderful spirit, a quality spirit, wherein they were still very enthusiastic about the Word and about their place in the body of Christ. And we were able to sit down and talk with them and answer lots of questions and deal with some issues and situations that they face now that they don't have a pastor. And in a smaller assembly like that, where the pastor kind of does, you know, 90% of the administration, the brothers were kind of left holding the ball here and wondering what they should be doing. So it was great to have the three meetings that I did with them. They had a joy about them. They had a real wonderful spirit of worship, and they just were enthusiastic. They loved the Word. They loved the worship, and they were just a pleasure to minister to. And they are a little lighthouse in a great big area where there's not much representation of this end time truth, and so they feel determined to do what God would have them to do and to remain there as a witness of the truth in this last day. So if you don't mind, just remember them in prayer. And they've got good ministries going in there. I've got lots of ministers who have contacted me and said they're willing to go up and help and help minister to the people there. So we appreciate that. Forgive me if I've missed somebody's birthday here. I will find that out if I have missed you, because I don't want to miss you. But we are glad to have Brother Larry Pruitt with us today. And June 13th was Brother Larry's birthday, right? God bless you, Brother Larry. June 15th, Brother Richard Smith's birthday. There he is. God bless you, Brother Smith. You folks are moving around on me a little bit, and that just takes me a half hour or so just to kind of find you. And God, we just appreciate Brother and Sister Smith very much, and God bless you. We appreciate your Brother Richard. And Sister Niob, her birthday was the 15th. God bless you, Niob, becoming a wonderful young lady, and we're just honored to have her with us. Christy Williams also, Sister Christy, June 16th is her birthday as well. So may the Lord richly bless you all. Wanted to mention that we took a year off having our men's meeting, and this year we're going to have it on September 29th to October 1st. And we're excited because we're going to be doing some things different, and I'll make you aware of that. We're going to be having a preliminary meeting with our brothers who are involved in the work of the men's meeting. We've got more ministers who are coming in. We've got a broader range of ministers who are coming in. And we've added a couple of more sessions, and we're putting some interesting things in there that I think will be a blessing to the men based on some of the requests and needs that they have mentioned to us. And so the registration is not open, right? Where's Lucas? The registration is open, so you can register now? Great. All right. So the registration is live, and you're able to jump in there and take care of that. Now, I would encourage you to do that quickly, because there's a lot of interest, and there's a lot of folks who are asking about us and when it's open. So this is the official announcement. So if you want to get in there, now's the time to do that. And I would encourage all of you brothers to be there. And if you think you're too young, you need to come and ask me whether you can come and join in with us during the men's meeting. I want to say this morning, Happy Father's Day to all the fathers that are here. To you folks that are here that have your father still standing on the earth, you should be thankful. You ought to get a hold of your father if he's not here today and thank him for his service to his family, and thank him for just being a father. And all fathers are not perfect, and we know that. But it's the way God set it up to give us a mother and a father. I wish I had my father here today to be able to say that to him. He was not a perfect person at all, but neither did he have perfect sons, at least the other two sons. But you know, I think about him on a day like today. In the message, Perseverance, Brother Brandon makes a statement about Jesse, and I've often thought about this scenario, because he said, Brother Brandon gives us this picture of David being a man after God's own heart. And what kind of, I thought about this many times, what kind of a family would God had put David in to raise him up and to shape him, and he's thinking in a certain way. And he gave him to Jesse. And I think, therefore, Jesse will be honored when we get across on the other side. Brother Branham says, little David, no doubt, raised in a lovely, believing home, and his father, Jesse, a great man of God. Now, I would ask you, and I've asked many congregations, what in the world do you know that Jesse ever did to be awarded the phrase, the title, a great man of God? He didn't kill any giants. He didn't lead anybody into battle. He didn't play an instrument. He didn't preach a sermon. There's nothing we know in the Bible that says anything about Jesse doing great things. Brother Branham fills in this picture for us, and he says, no doubt, he said, gathered all those boys around at night and had family prayer before they went to bed. And probably read the scrolls and talked about great Jehovah that had opened up the Red Sea. And great Moses brought them out following the pillar of fire and all these things. And that created faith. Because faith comes by hearing, hearing of the Word of God. And little David got to thinking on that. And that's what made Jesse a great man of God. You want to be a great father, you influence the generation coming behind you toward the kingdom of God. That's the best thing you can do. All right, I'm not done with my announcements. Are we okay? Now, I made an executive decision this week. And that executive decision was to postpone Adventures in the Bible for a year. So we are not going to have Adventures in the Bible this year. And part of my reasoning, and I can explain this to you if you want to know, but part of my reasoning is that it's a very labor-intensive program for us. And we need to have the church involved in that program to step up and to help to be able to minister to the young people that come, to our children that come. I consider it a very important thing, but we want to do it right. And so we're going to regroup a little bit. We're going to be meeting with the leaders of the Adventures team and perhaps streamline things a little bit and maybe simplify things a little bit just so that we can, do it well. It has to be held in a time when we're out of school in order for us to do it Friday and Saturday. That means it's hot. And it's hot work and it's hard work. And there's a lot of planning involved that goes on. And we're very thankful for our laborers and workers who do it. But we do not want to become a church where 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. Somebody ought to say amen. So if you're in the 80, we need you. If you're in the 20, we thank you. But for this year, and this year only, we're going to take a pause in Adventures in the Bible. And I've talked to everybody I know who was intending to come from out of town, like the Franklins and other folks who are coming from out of town, and told them what changes we were making. And so therefore, that's the bad news. But I have good news. The good news is that we're going to take a different kind of adventure. And on the same days, July 14th and 15th, we're going to be taking an adventure to Noah's Ark. And, Lord willing, we're going to be leaving here on Friday, on July 14th, and going to the edge of Kentucky and in the Ohio River, and the south part of Cincinnati, where the Creation Museum is, and they built an actual life-size replica of Noah's Ark. It is the real McCoy. It is the real stuff. It is an absolutely fascinating structure, and thousands and thousands and thousands of people have visited it since its opening last year in June of 2016. I asked the lady, and they have a travel travel agency who operates tours buses who come, and churches, church groups who come. And I asked her, I said, hey, is this going to be a busy time for us? And she said, yes, it will be. It'll be a busy time. But she said, shouldn't need to worry because the ark will house 10,000 people. So in the ark and the building that is next to it, attached to it, it'll actually accommodate over 10,000 people. And what we would do is travel out on Friday, and we would overnight there. And then from there, we would spend the day on Saturday and be able to tour the Ark and the museum that is related to the Ark, and then return back on Saturday night. We're still going to have Brother Aaron McGarry to join us on that weekend, and he's going to be ministering on that Sunday. And so we're going to turn it into a special weekend, but a different kind of a special weekend than we were normally planning in Adventures in the Bible. I know you would have lots of questions, and so therefore I put all the information you need and prices on this sheet. It's in the library. Okay? The website is also on here, so you can go to the website and you can look up the images, and they have some video footage there and so forth, and you're able to do it. There is a fee for sign-up. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pay for the bus. We have 52 seats on that bus. We're going to pay for that. You don't have to go on the bus, but when you see the amenities that are on the bus, let me tell you, you'll want to go. DVD screens and everything on there. So you'll be able to take the bus if you like. You're also able to drive there. Like the Franklins, they're going to be driving over from Arizona to visit with us for a couple of weeks. They're going to go back with the bus and go on back to Arizona after the tour is over. So you're able to drive your own van if you like, which I have 52 seats on this bus, and I'm going to pay for that bus for you to come on. There is a registration fee that we will sign up for. It is discounted because we have a group, and that fee is the only fee that's non-refundable. So when we get down a little bit closer to it, and we're going to have a sign-up sheet, and Sister Sarah is going to be the administrator here of the sign-up sheet, when you want to go and join us, and you're able to sign up on the sheet there, and then eventually we'll purchase the tickets when we know closer to the event how many people that we're going to go. Children 0 to 5 are free, and then 5 to 13 and 14 to 59. And then the seasoned people have a discount as well, over 59. Proud to say I'm one of them. Now, they also have this travel agency looks after accommodations for us, and we'd all be able to stay in the same hotel. They have several hotels that are in the vicinity, and they're going to be sending us details about which hotel that we could stay at and the prices and so forth. What I'm going to do also on your behalf is to pay for those hotels myself and then allow you to be able to pay me back later on as you go if you want to split that up. And as we don't want to make this a financial burden for anybody. We want you to be able to come. Now, who can come is the next question. And this is for our church, all right, and for our local folks here. So if you're a member of our church, this is for this is who this is for. Brother Wayne, you're allowed to come, all right, because there's no age discrimination here. I got 52 seats on the bus, and buddy, you're welcome to come, all right? So it's going to be a journey. It's going to be a 6 hours and 30 minutes getting there, 6 hours and 30 minutes back the next day. But we'll have plenty of time to be able to do the Ark, and they've got a way for us to be able to tour that in that space of time, okay? But you're able to go. You don't have to have little kids. You don't have to have any kids. You don't even have to have grandkids. You can come along. If you're a member of the church, you can come along. If we indeed have extra seats, then we may open that up at my discretion. We will open that up possibly to other people. But if you have, if you're thinking about doing this, you need to let us know, because it will be, I will assure you, or you'll get your money back. It will be a really neat experience for you to be able to go and see the Ark. It is absolutely fascinating. They took a long, long time to develop the engineering and the architecture to build the Ark, just like Noah would have done it over 120 years. And when you go to the website, you can see some of the design features that are there, and the size of this thing is absolutely enormous. This is not the way the park is, but this is an artist's rendition of what it's going to be. And the Creation Museum is here. This is where the Ark is and the building adjacent to it, and this is all in place now. All of this is not in place, but it will eventually come to that place. I was interested in letting you, especially you young people, be able to see the Ark exactly in the same proportions as it was built back in the days of Noah. I think it'd be exciting. That's what we call good news and bad news, all right? I think whatever investment we can make in the hearts and minds of our young people, I think it is very, very valuable. I think it's very important. I think it is our commission. I think it is our first and best investment. And I will tell you that if we don't, the devil will, in this world, make deposits in the minds and hearts of our young people. And so, therefore, I'm willing to go the distance. But what I need from you is, if you feel led to join us and you know, make the excursion and make the journey, then you need to let us know, and we'll have all the details provided for you, and we'll give you updates as you go along. But you don't want to miss this bus ride, because the stuff that it's just fantastic. Can I have just a couple of more minutes? I'd just like to say this morning, because I think this is a special moment wherein we should probably, after church today when you can, you ought to go up to Sister Crystal and you ought to shake her hand and say, God bless you, because she's joining the ranks of grandparents. God bless you, Sister Crystal. Danny and Caitlin, we are delighted, and we'd ask you to remember them in prayer as they're going through those first stages. They're excited. I'm excited, too, and I think that's wonderful. I really do. I think it's a great blessing. And, you know, to me, I always say to people that having little children is God's way of saying that life goes on. But, you know, we're not done, because this morning after church, after you shake Sister Crystal's hand, you need to go up to Little Haven and tell her, welcome to the ranks of being a big sister. Ethan and Ann are going to be having a baby. We're excited. Brother Mike and I are in a knockdown, drag-out fight for the number of grandchildren. And he's got another one on me this morning. So, thank you for bearing witness with me and being patient with these announcements here today. If you don't mind, let's stand to your feet this morning. I'd like you to take your Bibles and let's do a reading this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. The reading that I really want to do is extensive here, but if you don't mind, let's just take a couple of verses here to get our context. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 6, Paul writes, "Who also has made us able ministers?" And he's speaking of God here in the fifth verse. He says, we are not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. God has enabled us to be able to minister this message to the believers of this age, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, and the Spirit giveth life. And so Paul is making sure that, you know, the people understand that God has given the message and God has empowered us to preach it. Then he talks about the Jews and about Moses and the ministry that Moses had, the ministry of the law to the Jewish people. In verse 14, but their minds, the Jewish people, their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. So the removing of the veil allows you to see the truth of your day. And Paul says, but even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. And it's very, very true. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And may the Lord add his blessing. You may be seated this morning. Now, if I do nothing else this morning, I wanted to preamble a little bit, so I need you just to follow me here as we just pick up this thought here, and I'm going to incorporate this in some other things that we've talked about. And we'll simply use the word liberty here to define where we're going. Brother Branham says a lot about this word. He describes the liberty that he enjoys in certain circumstances and certain situations. Let me give you a couple of examples here. Brother Ram was talking about Samson, and he says, what do you think was going through his mind and the many victories that he'd had and the many great things that he had done when the Spirit of God was on him. But now he was conscious that he had every muscle, but the Spirit of the Lord was missing. So here's Samson in captivity, and he once knew real liberty. He once knew real freedom when the anointing of the Lord came upon him. But now, all of a sudden, here he is bound by chains and he's bound in captivity. He has no more freedom. He cannot do what God raised him up to do as a judge. And he's sitting there. Brother Branham said, you've got to wonder what went through his mind during times like that. Then he said, now let me tell you something. He said, church, don't try to join the fancy church and the most eloquent bunch. You stay with Christ where the Spirit of the Lord is. And that's what Samson failed to do. He failed to stay with God. But he had his own thinking, his own way about things here. But Brother Branham encourages us. He said, just stay with the Lord. Stay where the Spirit of the Lord is. Because that's where we are safest, and that's where the right things are going to happen. We stay where the Spirit of the Lord is. Now, we find another version of this word, another slant on this word in Acts chapter 7. And this is when Stephen is giving his defense about Israel before the elders there, before he's going to die. And he says to the people, this Moses whom they refuse, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? This is the children of Israel. You remember when Moses had killed that Egyptian, and then the Israelites came to him the next day and said, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer. And that word deliverer is the word we're dealing with. It is literally in the Greek, liberator, by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. The same God did send to be a ruler and a liberator by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. So Moses was a prophet, he was a lawgiver, but he was also a liberator. He was used of God to liberate God's people, because I need to tell you this morning at the outset, God never intended any of his people to be in bondage. At any time in the short term or in the long term, God never wants his people to be in bondage. In bondage, whether it's financial bondage or spiritual bondage or medical bondage, or in any way incapacitated so they don't have the freedom to express what God made them to be. Our God is a liberator. Do you believe that? Our God is one who still sets free. And we are thankful for that. Brother Branham said, what is that in thine hand? He said, he is the liberator of we who are in bondage. And any person that's in bondage, Jesus is here to liberate them. And if you'll believe it, now I'm not here to liberate you because I couldn't do it. I wasn't sent to do it. I was sent to preach the gospel. Christ came to liberate. Isn't that right? You remember when he went into the temple and he took the scrolls and he read them and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he said he was there to set the captives free. He's a liberator. That's an attribute of God. And I think it's a wonderful thing, because it is true that, you know, God never wants anybody to be held in bondage by anything other than the Spirit of the Lord. And that's why where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is true liberty, as opposed to the bondage that Satan will bring into your life. But remember now, when Satan comes and he proposes something to, especially to young people, he makes it sound like where I'm leading you is a good thing. Where I'm leading you is a fun place. It's a place where you'll be popular and so on. And it eventually leads them into bondage. When Satan is leading, he never leads a person into true freedom. But that's what the Holy Spirit does. He breaks the bonds of the captor, and he sets us free. And I'm thankful for that. I know what that feels like. I hope you know what that feels like. I do know what that feels like, and I'm so grateful for the freedom that I enjoy. Brother Branham, also in 1965, in Things That Are to Be, he makes a comment. He said, I feel honored tonight to come into a church like this. I always feel better in a church than I do in these auditoriums, where there's fights and wrestling and burlesques and concerts and so forth, everything going on. Evil spirits seem to hang around them places. And now, he said, what may seem a superstition, but it isn't so. But when you come into a church, usually a spiritual congregation, he said, it seems you feel more at liberty. He said, the presence of God is there. Let me tell you, if the Spirit of God is free to move, and the Spirit of God is present, and he's free to move, good things can happen. Despite your lethargy, And despite our indifference sometimes, and despite our lack of expectation sometimes, and hey, you know, I mean, we're all, we all go through things, and we all feel weary, and sometimes we don't always feel at our best when we come to church, and you certainly understand that. But I will tell you something, that when the presence of God is in a place, God can do great things. God can do sometimes exceedingly and abundantly above all that you could ask or think. And we should expect nothing less than that. Are we okay? So when we define liberty, and I don't want to linger long on this, but the definition of liberty in some senses now, it seems real obvious that when we have a freedom from arbitrary or despotic government or control, then we say that we have liberty. America's Constitution and its democracy is founded upon the premise of liberty for all men and the lack of arbitrary or despotic government or control. Let me tell you something. I remember, you know, talking with people who live in the nation of Zimbabwe, which was once Rhodesia in southern Africa. And the government there and the leader of the country, who happens to be the most educated government leader in the world. He has the most degrees of any foreign leader in the world, Robert Mugabe. And he's still in power. He's a very old man, but he's still in power. And he made decisions about how that the country was going to operate in comparison to how it used to operate, because there used to be lots of white landowners and farmers and plantation owners in Zimbabwe, very rich country, very prosperous when it came to farming and agriculture and animals and so forth. All of a sudden he said, all right, we're going to take all the white landowners and we're going to run them off, and we're going to take these farms and plantations and give them all to local people. So if your skin color was black, you all of a sudden had rights to these farms that you never had before. That's what we call an arbitrary government imposition of its power. And that is what we call a nation that doesn't enjoy liberty like we do. Can you imagine what it would be like if we elected a government which said all of a sudden now we're going to take all the corporations from all the old white-haired white guys, and we're going to give it to Hispanics and let them run it? Well, the country went into a state of chaos after that was done in Zimbabwe, and they have not still recovered. Their inflation rate is 4 to 5 digits long. It's unbelievable how deflated their currency actually is. And a lot of the people, as a result of that, suffer because of that. That's what we call arbitrary government control. Liberty also means freedom from control, interference, obligation, restriction, and hampering conditions. So when we say that, we have liberty, there are not controls. I remember being over in Russia in times past, and the believers over there, they would have to get a visa if they went from county to county in their area of Russia. So for instance, if I was going to travel from Virginia and come to North Carolina to minister, I would need to take my passport and go apply for visas in order to get here and then to be able to get back. And I may not be able to get permission to do it. They had, and they still do have, great controls. You ought to remember the believers in Russia, because they still experience great, great burdens of administration and bureaucracy when it comes to starting a church. I mean, for them to be able to have a permit, to be able to own their own church and have their own church, it is extraordinary. And the government is tightening and tightening. Recently, the Russian government made a decision where they were going to outlaw people like Jehovah's Witness and Mormons in their country, because they considered them radical extremists. Radical extremists, because they were not saying what the government religion actually says. And the believers over there, I asked them, I inquired, and I said, are you concerned about this? And they said, absolutely, we are concerned about this, because it is just another expression of government control and interference. I can't read what's on my screen here. The power or right of doing something or thinking or speaking according to choice. My goodness. That is the thing that I think is really important for us to consider. And I want to expound on this. And believe it or not, for you men that will come to the men's meeting, this is a current event that we're actually going to be dealing with. And I'm going to bring just a little here in the scripture and also in the message here related to the subject of free speech. Because the ability for us to be able to speak freely in this nation and the rules that govern this are in the process of changing. And this is going to become a very important issue for us in terms of what we can say and what we cannot say. And we'll expound on that just a little bit further. Freedom from captivity or confinement or physical restraint. Liberty is the power to do what one likes. And I'd like to take exception to that last line, because liberty in the Scripture is a little different than liberty in the Webster's Dictionary. When we say that we have liberty, like for instance, I have the freedom to be able to go buy a green car versus a red car. I could go buy a pack of cigarettes if I wanted to. I have the money. I have the age permission, right? I could do that if I wanted to. I have liberty. I have freedom to do what I want to do. I can go to the fish place after church, or I can go to Burger King after church, or I can go wherever I want to after church, right? Because I have the liberty to do that. Nobody's telling me that I need to go to a certain place or a certain restaurant for dinner. But in the Scripture, liberty is defined as something different. It is not the power or the freedom to do what you want. It is the freedom to become what God wants you to be. And there's a big, big difference. All right? Let's go a little further. We find this very famous Scripture, and it's one that really meant a lot to me as I was coming into the faith, where Jesus told the Pharisees and the disciples there, he said, "If the Son shall therefore make you free, you shall be free indeed. And I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you." If the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. Aren't you glad you've been set free? You know what? In reality, we don't really fully appreciate or understand how the Holy Spirit has chopped us free from and separated us from so many things, not only in this world, but in the religious world as well. There are all kinds of things that you don't have to deal with, that you don't have to worry about, that you're unencumbered from, because the Holy Spirit has taken you out of the world, and He's taken you out of organized religion, and He's taken you out of creeds and dogmas and everything else, and He set us free. He set us free to be able to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Somebody say amen. And He's done that. And you know what? May we take full advantage of that freedom as we have it today. The word free in the Scripture here, it means it is the word eleuthero, and it means to set at liberty, number one, from the dominion of sin. Here's an example. There's many, many examples of this. Brother Branham was on the platform, and he's got a crippled boy that's there. And he said, after he'd prayed for some 35 to 40 minutes, he said, "I could not feel that there was any difference." And after a while, the liberty came, and the power that had him bound was gone. Because whenever Satan comes, there is not the feeling of freedom and liberty and joy whenever Satan comes. And Brother Bam said nothing changed until he said the power that had him bound was gone. The next morning, the boy shaved himself. His hands were drawing down. He couldn't even feed himself or shave himself. Walked into the building, pushed his wheelchair up and down across the floor for the first time for 30 some odd years. He had been liberated. He had been set free. And when he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Brother Branham said, "I'm not a liberator." He said, "I can't do it." But he said, "Jesus Christ can liberate." That's what he was sent to do. Now, I'm only wanting you to think here, and I want you to come along with me as we think about this. And the message, perseverance. Brother Branham said, we have hindrances. In this world that we're living in, we have hindrances. I would say that we have an increasing amount of hindrances that we have to deal with today. An increasing amount. Because the pressure is increasing because, number one, the world's falling apart. And number two, the greater the word shines forth, the greater that Christ is illuminated and magnified, the more this message stands in contrast to the darkness that is engulfing this world. The greater that light becomes, the darker the world becomes around us. Because the Bible said that, you know, darkness covers the earth and gross darkness covers the people. And so in that kind of an atmosphere, the light that is becoming greater for us, it stands in contrast to that darkness around us. And that darkness, if it could, it would choke out that light. It would eliminate that light. Now, Brother Branham makes this statement. He said, "You might have some hindrances, and I have plenty of them, a lot of hindrances. But about your faith," he said, "you can't be persistent if you're going to let everything hinder you." Now look, if you're aging, you have hindrances. And all the old people turned up their hearing aids and said, if you're aging, you have hindrances. You have natural hindrances. We have, a perpetual pressure in our world financial pressures that we deal with. One brother made the comment, he said, it takes about a salary and a half now to raise a family. It takes more than just one salary in most cases. It takes about a salary and a half. And so therefore, families are very often put in a position of compromise where they have to make decisions and choices about what they're going to compromise, or are we going to have both mom and dad work? And I mean, that's a constant thing that we feel. There are pressures that are associated with life anyway. And they're not all exclusive to our time. Let me tell you, even though we have unique pressures living in Satan's Eden over here, can you imagine what it would be like living in a time back in the days when they had no running water? Right? And they had no antibiotics. Let me tell you, things were a little bit different back in those days when they had no antibiotics. A nick on the leg from an axe chopping wood, or a broken bone that had ruptured something on the inside, or something else. Sometimes that meant certain death. Nowadays, we know exactly where to go and how to get that fixed, right? And we live in a different set of challenges, but we're not the only age that has challenges. And you know what? We're not the only population that's aging. Every era has had its share of aging seniors, or seasoned seniors, I like to say. Brother Ram said we have lots of hindrances, but I need to go a step further than just that now. He said, now physically you might not feel well, and you might not feel like going to church, but your faith don't have any hindrances. So we can be in that number where we feel physical hindrances, and you know what? I don't have an answer for that. I'm sorry. I don't have a remedy for the hindrances that come with life, because that's what life is. Life's difficult. But Brother Branham is also saying that even though we have those kinds of hindrances, if your faith is strong, he said, then you know what? Just like Abraham, while his physical body was failing, his faith was rising. And he believed God, right? He said, oh, you have plenty of physical hindrances and spiritual hindrances. But if your faith believes in God, there's no hindrances to your faith. So in other words, even though the physical side of life, you know, the economy might go down, and the economy does, right? It dips and it ebbs and it rises and it crests and it goes up and down, because that's what economies do. Physical bodies go up and down, don't they? Until it gets to the place where it's all down. But they go up and down. And governments go up and down. And, you know, I mean, you might look at a government situation and say, my goodness, you know, a crazy government. Can you imagine, just for instance, can you imagine what it would have been like living in the days of Paul, when there was no church? There was no New Testament church. Paul was the one standing there laying the foundation of a church, but not attending church. I mean, he was laying the foundation of the church. The church was very, very loosely defined. And the message was that Israel was cut out. In Israel, Israel was cut out. I mean, the Jews were cut out. The law now had been fulfilled. And the Romans were in power. So it's not like we were having free and fair elections back in the days of Paul and everybody went to church and prayed about it. Can you imagine what it would have been like? Or let's say, can you imagine what it would have been like in the days of the Great Plague back in the 1300s, 1400s, back in there when one-fourth of Europe and parts of Asia were wiped out by a little mite that ran on the backs of rats and infected people, and they died of the Black Plague. I mean, can you imagine what it must have been like to live in days like that, when they had no science to tell them where this is coming from and then how to remedy it? Today, when something arises, we all want to, hey, listen, what's the government doing? Let's get find out. Let's go to the CDC website. Let's find out what's going. Imagine back then, when everyone around you was dying and no one had an answer. Can you imagine what it would have been like living in the days in this country after the Civil War? In the days when the Civil War was ending and the Union finally had begin to come over the top of this great struggle that was never meant to go on as long as it did. And then all of a sudden, when it seemed like victory was apparent, then bang, the president is assassinated in Washington. Not only are the questions there about Reconstruction and how do we reconstruct the South, how do we reconstruct this nation to bring it back together in unity and harmony and not have everybody hate each other and still shoot each other and the question of slavery and all the other issues that were on the table and very fresh and very raw back in the days of the end of the Civil War, and now all of a sudden the president's assassinated. Can you imagine what it would have been like living in times like that? So don't think at all that we live in times that are absolutely the only times in the world where we would refer to as troublesome times. Other ages have had their share of troubles as well. Other ages have aged as well. But Brother Branham is letting us know here that despite the fact that you have spiritual hindrances and physical hindrances, he said, but if your faith believes in God, there's no hindrances in your faith. Let me go one step further. How about this? Where Paul says, I went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel that I preach unto the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Paul says, I went up to Jerusalem to talk to the elders here, James and the other elders that were in Jerusalem. He says, I went up to preach, but really my mission was to go up and talk to the elders that were there. Neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. You know, I mean, you'll see the issue here. And that because of false brethren, unawares, brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty that we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Bondage is the opposite of liberty. And Paul says now, we're not dealing with government here. We're not dealing with the Romans here. We're not dealing with somebody outside. We're dealing with somebody inside who are there to undermine the faith. Now notice what Brother Branham says back here. He says you can have physical hindrances and spiritual hindrances, but if your faith believes in God, he said there's no hindrances to your faith. So even though there's trouble around you, your faith can still be rising. But what about if we have the physical and spiritual hindrances and all of a sudden your faith is being attacked? How about if somebody comes to you with a spoken word book and begins to tell you things about the message, and now all of a sudden you're asking questions that you shouldn't be asking? You're hearing things that are not really intended for believers to hear. But they're doing it out of a spoken word book. Come on, folks, don't get quiet on me. Paul says this is within. He said, I'm coming up to Jerusalem to preach. He said, but I'll tell you what. He said, I'm also coming to talk to the elders there because we got a problem. We have a problem. He says, you know, around the ranks of the body of Christ. This is the first church now. This is not our time here. He says, to whom we give place by subjection? No, not for an hour. And we wouldn't say it just kind of like that. But Paul is saying, do we listen to these guys? Absolutely not. No, not for a minute. We don't give them the time of day. That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Because if we give in to that, the truth of the gospel is not going to carry on. And you know what? The truth is what sets you free. But other people have other ideas. And their intent, their motive, is only to take you back into bondage again, not to give you more freedom in Christ. I'm just saying, this is a good question. I think it's a good question. So there's another element to this. Paul says in Thessalonians, he said, now finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course, which means spread rapidly. He said, we trust the message gets out and be glorified or be honored, even as it is with you. He says, I want you to pray for that. And he said, pray that that's what happens and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not the faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. Now, this is an interesting thing. And I'm just depositing a few things here in your thinking. We'll pick this up a little bit later on. Brother Branham refers to John chapter 8 again, and he says, he who the Son has made free is free indeed. He said, no bondage. Free in the liberty where Christ has made you free. Therefore, he says, you knock that old Hivite out. That little old Jebusite. Take that little old Canaanite. Just kick him away. Don't let him live. Kill him. God said kill him. Destroy him. Talking about the Old Testament. You remember when they possessed the land? Right? Under Joshua, they went in to possess the land. He said, don't let that little Hivite kick you around. And don't let that Canaanite, he said, just linger. Kill him and destroy him. My dear little friend, I'll be back to see you again as soon as this revival's over. He said, don't never do that. If you do, you'll never get to the promised land. Take out that sword of God and go fighting. You know what he's telling us is that your freedom and your liberty is not just automatic. There are encroachers. There are spirits that will try to come in and spy out your liberty. Not only in an assembly, not only in a church, but there are Hivites and Canaanites out there that will try to sit on your shoulder and try to steal your joy and steal your liberty. And the answer to them is the same answer that God gave to Joshua. Pull your sword out and kill them. And don't tolerate it, because it's only there to steal your joy. I don't know if any of you have ever experienced that, where something's come up. You've been, you know, rolling along pretty well, and all of a sudden something comes up, and you feel like you don't have that same joy. You don't have that same automatic response. You don't have that same lightness in your step. You don't have that same quick testimony on your lips to tell people about what God has done. And then all of a sudden you kind of stand back and look at that, and you realize, my goodness, whether it's tradition, or whether it's criticism, or whether it's some church or some pastor, or whatever it is that's happened here, whatever it is that has spoiled your liberty, you take your sword out. Don't kill the church you came from. Don't kill the pastor you once sat under. Literally. But what you don't want to do is have that Hivite sit on your shoulder and say, hey, you're not even a believer. Your faith is in question. Your joy is in doubt. And all the other things that Satan will do to lie to you to take away your liberty in Christ. You need to be an enemy to that spirit that tells you that. That enemy, that Hivite that tells you you're not forgiven. That Hivite that tells you that God doesn't love you anymore. Brother Bram says, don't ever tolerate that. He said, if you'll never get to the promised land. Let me tell you, the liberty that God has given to us has empowered us to be able to fight for the things that we know are ours. Because even though Satan knows the same quotes that I'm reading to you this morning, he doesn't say, wow. Rats, they've got all kinds of liberty. And here's Brother Barry preaching on liberty. So I might as well just leave them alone and go to some other people that I can keep in bondage. Don't you think he's going to roll over and let you enjoy your liberty? Because even in the early church, Paul said there are brethren who crept in unawares. And they're subverting the faith, and they're trying to pull people away from the truth. And he says, you know what they're doing? He said they're just spying out our liberty. And he said their intent, their goal, whether they say it or not, their intent is to bring us into bondage again. Now, Brother Branham said, there's not a person here, he said, but what seeks for perfection. Every one of us does. How many of us here would want to do better? Better than what we're doing. How about better in the lip and tongue department? How about that? Let's just, it's only a little member, so if we're honest, every one of us would love to be able to say and react and respond better than what we do, right? And when we think about those things, you think, oh, man, you know, I still have a work to do. I still have a way to go. He said you get your bills paid and you think that settles it, and somebody's sick in your family. Sickness gets all right, you got more bills to pay. First thing you know, your hair's turning gray. He says, you know, you want to be turning back again, young. There's something all the time because of the wave of sin. Now again, we're not the first aging population, right? We're not the first people that have had financial distress. If you grew up in the nation of Ireland when the potato famine, which by the way actually started in America, and the American potatoes were shipped over to France and so forth, they all experienced a potato blight, but it wound up in Ireland. The thing about Ireland was that their whole economy was based on potatoes. And when a potato crop failed for 4 or 5 years, it devastated their economy because they had nothing else to turn to. They didn't have coal, and they didn't have other vegetables, and they didn't have a lot of exports of any other kind. And it devastated the Irish economy. It devastated the Irish people. My wife and I visited the graves where they had markers there saying there's 12 families underneath this grave marker here who died in the years of the famine. As it was so devastating for those people. We're not the first people to experience financial difficulty. But we live in a time that's unique because we've come to the end of Gentile civilization. So the sin of every age has heaped up. The darkness of every age, the evil of every age has heaped up and come to the end of Gentile time. And so therefore, we do face unique struggles. And he said there's something all the time, constantly, because of that wave of sin. Now, Let me, if you don't mind, I'm just going to skip just for a moment here because I want to get you, I want to get to a couple of things here that I'm going to leave with you. Brother Branham talks about the military. And he says, now I'm an American. And he said, there's many of Branham probably flew over their graves, he said, in France and so forth. Four brothers in the last war. And going in this, maybe a son too, shortly, which is Billy Paul. And you remember Billy Paul's testimony, how the Lord excluded him from service. And he, Brother Branham, he said that Brother Branham, alluded to the fact that it was because he was going to be an assistant to this prophet and help him over the years. And so he never made it into the army there. Brother Branham was not unashamed of the army and serving your country and fighting for the liberties that we always enjoyed. Because freedom does not come free. Freedom comes at a cost. I'm not running for office, but I will tell you that freedom comes at a cost. We know that naturally speaking here. And if it were not for, the defenses that we have within our nation easily could be overrun by hostile forces that would love to take away our liberty. And that is a fact, and that's a reality. However, I want to look into this just a little bit this morning here. And it came to, Brother Branham said, if it come to the colors tonight, I'd be happy to walk out. This is Brother Branham saying this now. I'd be happy to walk out and give my life freely like my brethren have, who stain the soils of foreign countries with their blood for the liberty that we have tonight. Now that was in 1951. And he's talking in the post-World War II era. I'm saying today, and I've talked to several young people and some young men who are here about serving today in our country and serving and the ramifications of being involved in military today. It's not like it was back in that day. And I think also it pays for us to be able to talk a little bit about the liberty that we have today versus the liberty that they had back in that day. Because things are a little bit different. Now, I want you to take your Bible, if you don't mind. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel 7. Daniel chapter 7 is a very important passage of Scripture. It begins in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon. Daniel had a dream. And in his dream, he sees four figures. The figures are one of a lion, one of a bear, one of a leopard, and then a fourth beast. This fourth beast intrigues Daniel. It is mysterious. It is evil, overwhelmingly evil. Daniel doesn't understand, and he seeks interpretation. God begins to give it to him here. There's a lot that we could talk about. But I want to come down because we believe we're living in the time of the expression of this fourth creature that we're living in. And Daniel says, and I beheld, verse 21, and I beheld the same horn which made war with the saints and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given unto the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. In the end time, which is what Daniel is referring to, this creature wreaked havoc on the earth. And he made war against God and against God's people and the saints and so forth. And he prevailed. He had victories through this time until, 22, the Ancient of Days came. Thus he said, and the fourth beast shall be in the fourth kingdom, shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth and tread it down and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom, don't worry about all the symbols, we'll talk a little bit about this later. The ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words. This is the effect now. I just need you to watch the effect of this great beast. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and he shall wear out the saints of the Most High. And think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. Trust me, That phrase there, time and times, and the dividing of time, is 3.5 years. And that orients us to the fact that in the tribulation, this beast will have free reign. The saints he's talking about who are worn down are the saints, the people who have not rejected Christ, but live in the tribulation period. They actually live in the tribulation period. But now, remember, seasons overlap. So as we're heading into the time of tribulation for the world, when Israel receives its two prophets, are we okay? The effect of the Antichrist spirit in this world is here to wear you down. It is here to create not only havoc in the world, to bring nations to ruin, and to cause wars and struggles to continue, and diseases to rise, financial collapse to occur. Hey, Jesus said it was going to happen, Luke 21, right? He said men's hearts will be failing for fear for those things that are coming on the face of the earth. And this Antichrist spirit, it obviously, if nations are in financial bondage, like Venezuela today, Venezuela compared to what it used to be in years past, today, they're fleeing Venezuela in boatloads and truckloads and trainloads, people trying to get out of the country and go to neighboring nations there because it is so difficult even to feed your family. And what those people have to do in order to just survive in times like that is nothing less than pre-tribulation. It is absolutely horrendous. What the people in Syria have to get up and face every day when they get up out of their bed, it's absolutely unbelievable. We don't know 1/10 of what it is really like there. But I'm simply saying this, that sometimes the pressures we feel today are the pressures of this influence in the world that is there to wear you out spiritually. And to cause things, even to come in among the body, that make us look at things and say, my goodness, you know, I thought this brother was a sound brother, and I thought this church was a sound church, and I thought, you know, these ministers were good, solid ministers, and all of a sudden, when we hear about things like that, it creates a bit of a pressure, doesn't it? It's discouraging. And let me tell you, Satan, he doesn't show up and say, you know, I'm here to, blow your house down with a tornado. Let me tell you, we can survive from things like that. We can pick up the pieces and go on again from trauma like that. And we all experience things like that in times past. But you know what? There's a great thing. There's a great thing that we have always, that no matter what happens to us physically in this life, we know we always have God to turn to. We always have, you know, the truth that we can turn to. Isn't that right? He's our anchor. He's our stay. He's our rock. Come on, somebody say amen. He's all of that. But when Satan moves in close enough to be able to whisper words of doubt and seeds of discrepancy in your thinking, you think, my goodness, you know, the government is doing this and, you know, circumstances are like this here. Who do I have to turn to? Why would God allow certain things to take place? Let me tell you, it's in times like that you need to be sure. It's in times like that I'm thankful that we have a God that we can turn to. And even when even God may not be doing everything that we expect or ask Him to do, let me tell you something. He's still real and He still knows the end from the beginning. And He knows how to deliver us because He never gives us too much to bear. But this is the atmosphere that we face in the last day. Now, listen to what Brother Branham says about this. He said, you people, don't fall asleep now. The thing is closer than you think. This is 1962. He said, this fellow is just about that one that doesn't know Joseph. You remember in the times of Egypt, you know, and God told the people, He said, there'd be a Pharaoh rise up that didn't know Joseph. And Brother Branham said, this fellow, he's in 1962. You know who's president? John Kennedy. He said, this fellow, he said, he's just about that one that says, doesn't know Joseph, representing the Catholic Church. He says, and watch, come in just as tricky as it can be. And they got the hold right here, the last place, the last election, where they'd form an image to it by taking the confederation of church and make it speak just the same as the beast did. Because remember, the beast gives that power to that image of the beast, right? And speak just the same as that beast did and give power to persecute all the godly people and will change the times and laws of God. This Spirit will seek to change the laws of God. Now, Brother Branham said, wake up. He said, because this thing is closer than you think. Let me give you an example. You remember when Brother Branham was being investigated in the tax case? You remember that? And the IRS came after him and they were hunting him and giving him trouble and so forth. And Brother Branham said, this one fellow from the IRS, he came and he said, Brother Branham, and they were talking in the IRS court. This is not the same as, you know, a judicial court, criminal court, but this is the IRS, an IRS hearing that he's going through. And he says, quote to me Acts chapter 19. Brother Branham's asking this guy. And, you know, he doesn't have any idea what these scriptures are. He said, knowledge. He's got lots of knowledge. And he trapped his own self right into it, and he tried to change the subject. And I said, do you even know John 3:16? And Brother Branham said, knowledge, smart, world. And he said, but Mr. Branham, you're trying to try this case by a Bible. We're trying it by the laws of the land. I said, sir, isn't the laws of the land based upon the Bible? And Brother Branham was experiencing, and what he's trying to wake us up to the fact is that there will arise a system that doesn't know Joseph. And so now, the moral laws, the moral guidelines, the moral mores that once were intact in this nation, Brother Branham says, this man, he said, he's operating from a completely different mindset altogether. He's not looking at this like a nation identified as a Christian nation. These are laws. Well, let me tell you something. Laws today are changing quite rapidly in ways that are not exactly conducive to Scripture and Scripture Bible believers, right? The laws not in, the laws that are being passed, not all laws, but many laws are being passed that do not favor Bible-believing Christians. And the farther we go in this, the more you're going to stand out. Because Brother Branham, he lets us know that the laws of the land, he said, and the change in laws is not really man's prerogative. Now let me take your Bible, if you're still open in Daniel 7 there, just go back to Daniel 2. When Daniel was interpreting Belteshazzar's dream here. Verse 19, Daniel 2:19. The secret was revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. So this dream that troubled Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel all of a sudden understood what that dream was about. And it was about kingdoms that were going to come on the earth, and Nebuchadnezzar was on the top of that, and so forth, the head of gold. And Daniel answered, verse 20, and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he, God, changeth the times and the seasons. And he removeth kings, and setteth up kings, and giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. And he revealeth the deep and secret things. And he knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. God is the one who sets up kings and rulers. And when men veer away, when governments veer away, when nations veer away from God's standards, if you like, those nations go into ruin. And what we're finding today now is that the whole world being covered in darkness, nations are not God-fearing anymore. But yet, there are people who are members of this kingdom who stand within those nations. And that's why God does not destroy those nations, even though they veer away from God. But God preserves these nations in the way that he does, because we're here. When he takes that bride off the earth, you know what? There's nothing left but a judgment cycle for the earth. Because the righteousness that God's protecting is found right here. Everybody look at me. The righteousness that God is watching out for is right here. It's not in government. It's not in the nations. It's not something that, you know, God does to preserve or defend a nation anymore. Nations are on the skids. But God stands for his people. And will continue to do that until we're gone. It's a cycle we've moved into. And what I'm telling you this morning is that in any way he can, Satan will try to get in to rob us of the liberty and wear down the saints of the Most High in whatever way he possibly can. How many can relate to that? Sometimes, you know, it's almost like there's a pressure, there's a fog, there's a weight that we carry sometimes. Just in believing, there's a weight that we carry. But now, I want to go I want to conclude this morning by just saying this. I want to just try to get to a quote here. My goodness. Brother Man talks about Daniel. And he says, when Daniel was given a test, this is 1963 and how can I overcome? When Daniel was given a test that he should take back what the word said, that they should lean towards the temple as Solomon prayed, and he, God, would deliver them from all their things. You remember Daniel now going into captivity, he remembers what Solomon prayed for. He says, Lord, when your people, no matter where they are, if they will turn towards your holy temple and pray, he says, you know, will you answer? Lord, we know you will answer no matter where people are, and they'll be able to turn towards that temple and pray. And God responded, yes, that he would. And we are the Medo-Persians, and who cannot change or alter our laws, and that man will be thrown into the lion's den. They set a trap for Daniel because they had set up an image, and they wanted Daniel, were forcing everybody in the nation to pray to that image. And Daniel is looking at this, and he's saying, wow, the laws of the nation are set now, where this idolatry is more important than anything else, more important than God, more important than anything else. Everybody's got to pray to this image here. And Daniel's looking at this, and he says, but he remembers what Solomon prayed for, and they set a trap for Daniel, and Daniel knew it was a trap because he was a prophet. Let's look at what he did. And let me just encourage you this morning by I believe what we ought to do. He said he walked humbly, and when it came time for him to pray, he knew at the home place in Jerusalem, there was a burning sacrifice on the altar, and Daniel was not afraid of those spies. He raised up the shades, he threw back the shutters, and he knelt down on his knees, and he threw his hands up to God, and he prayed. Live or die, he had the victory. And therefore, so much victory till the lions couldn't eat him, he had overcome. It doesn't matter whether men change the laws. It doesn't matter what governments say or what governments do. And I'm not preaching insurrection here. I'm just saying that our first loyalty is to God. And I believe when we stand for God, God stands for us. And our affection and our allegiance and our faith is not based in whether things are easy or whether they're not, and whether things move along smoothly or whether they do not. I believe we're heading for choppier waters than what we're sailing in tonight. And I believe with all my heart that the thing that the bride will actually display and manifest is that spirit of just saying, it doesn't matter what anything else happens in this world. It doesn't matter what anybody else does. I'm going to throw the shutters open. I'm going to raise my hands to God and say, I'm thankful I'm a son of God. I'm thankful I'm a daughter of God. And nothing's ever going to change that. Let's stand to our feet. Raised up those shades and threw back those shutters and knelt down on his knees, and he had himself a time of worship and prayer. That's exactly what the bride of Christ. Let me tell you, that'll be burning in our hearts. But Brother Branham, you know, he's trying to tell us here. He's saying, wake up, folks. This is not too far away from you. And there's liberties and there's blessings that we have in this country here. But let me tell you, the more that the country turns away from God, the less secure those liberties actually are. The less freedoms that we have in our society. Isn't it true that there's some things in your company and in your schools you better not say? You can't say. You can't publish. You can't just publish whatever you want to anymore. You can get up and say certain things now. I mean, you have the liberty to say it. I mean, you don't have a policeman here telling you not to say it. But there can be a backlash within society. And now becomes pretty vicious. And I will tell you something. What we're looking at, I believe, in our time, is we have a government that tends to swing one way. There will be a backlash for that. There will be a swing back. And for us, you know what? We look at that. We think of that. Some of you are scratching your head. You just kind of look at that. You know what? I'm thankful that we have the liberty we have to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth. And the world is going to do funny things. The world is going to do odd things. But for us, I think every one of us ought to be determined. As this assembly, we ought to be determined. And in every assembly, we ought to be determined. Lord, may the spirit of liberty, because wherever the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, right? May we always welcome the Spirit of Christ. Because it's only in Christ. Only in Christ do we have real freedom. Only in Christ do we have the real joy and the real freedom. that this world really knows less and less about. And for us, our responsibility, our mandate is to keep this place a place where the Spirit of the Lord is free to move. Because as He's free to move, He's free to bless. And if He's free to bless, let me tell you, we ought to worship God in spirit and truth. We ought to raise our hands like Daniel did. We ought to be thankful for where God's brought us. We ought to be thankful for the fact that, you know, God's gotten this message before the gates of the Gentiles close. And God's got this word to us. And in this word lays rapturing faith, right? In this word lays our deliverance. In this word lays everything that we have need of for the rest of the journey. So do not fear. We don't fear. Don't fear what the government does, or, you know, and again, it's not, we're not the Westboro Baptist Church here. What we're seeking to preserve is the freedom that the Holy Spirit brings. Because in there is the blessing. In there is the freedom. Brother Bram said, don't go for the big church. He says, just stay where the Spirit of the Lord is. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me and the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me and the world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. Oh, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Just take this whole world and give me Jesus. I won't turn back. Is that your prayer this morning? Oh, I have started for the kingdom. Yes, I have started for the kingdom. I have started for the kingdom. And I won't turn back. No, I won't turn back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. How about this? Well, it's a great thing to be a Christian. Yes, it's a great thing to be a Christian. It's a great thing. See? Are you in C? No turning back. Oh, no turning back. Oh, hallelujah, I'm walking with the King. Praise His holy name. Yes, I'm walking with the King. Hallelujah, I'm walking with the King. Every day, I'm walking with the King. Once again. Oh, hallelujah, I'm walking with the King. Praise His holy name. Yes, walking with the King. Hallelujah. I'm walking with the King. Every day I'm walking with the King. I will sing of the mercies of my Lord forever. I will sing. Yes, I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of my Lord forever. Mercies of my Lord, and with my mouth shall I make known thy faithfulness, oh, with my mouth shall I make known thy faithfulness, oh, of the Lord. The move is on, my Lord. The move is on. The move is on, my Lord. The move Jesus. Hallelujah. I go to the rock. Thank you, Jesus. Move is on. You know, it's a good time for you to think about getting ready to move. Good time for you to think about making changes that need to be made. It's a good time for us to think about, well, maybe, you know, if I've never really fully surrendered, today is a great day to fully surrender. Never been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, a great day to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Never been a day better. Never been a time more appropriate than right now. Because we live in a day, folks, which is a different day. We're in a bridge between two great things happening. And Israel coming back in on the scene again. And there are things that had to happen in nations like this in order for things to happen in nations like that. And there are things that happen that begin to squeeze and squeeze in order to precede tribulation woes that come. Oh, aren't you glad that God delivered us from that? And we have a promise that we're not going to be in that tribulation. Aren't you glad for that? I love that doctrine. I love that teaching at the church, that the bride is never meant to be in tribulation. But you know what? We're living in a time when we're moving towards that. Towards that moment in time when they will wind up in tribulation. But God's got a ticket for you. God's got a way out. God's got a deliverance for His people. And therefore, we should not fear. We should not worry. We trust that God's going to deliver us in His time and in His season. Are we okay with that? Keep that in your minds as we depart now for a while and come back this afternoon here. Because we live in a very exciting and a very important time. I go to the rock of my salvation, go to the stone that the builders rejected, and the mountain stands by me. Earth all around is sinking sand, Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, go to the rock. Yes, I go to the rock of my salvation. Mountain and the mountain stands by me. Ground is sinking sand, but on Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, go to the rock. About the love of Jesus, I do. Anybody knows about the love of Jesus, I do. Yes, I do. Everybody knows about the grace of Jesus. I do. Yes, I do. Anybody knows about Jesus? I do. Yes, I do. First verse again now. Anybody knows about the love of Jesus? I do. Yes, I do. Anybody knows about the love of Jesus? I do. Yes, I do. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad to be in God's house today? Glad to be in the right place, the right time, with the right people, doing the right thing, believing the right stuff. Bless His holy name. You sang that this morning. You played that this morning before we began here. I'm glad I'm in the right place, the right time. But you know what? We're in the right place temporarily. There still is another step. When we get over on the other side, and we'll say we're in the right place, the right time, right? Doing the right things with the right people, right? On the other side. But for right now, I'll take this. I'll take this. Because I want to be where the Spirit of the Lord is. I want to be where God's people is. I want to be where God's Word is being ministered and opened up to us. And that's what's important. It's important also for us to drop other things that don't matter. Petty differences, attitudes that interfere, things that really don't count and don't matter. Drop them. Let them go. You need to ask forgiveness, ask forgiveness. You need to make something right, make it right. There's a lot of things that we hang on to sometimes, humanly speaking, that don't matter. What matters is we're in a place where the Holy Spirit's able to bring the Word to us, because in the Word lays rapturing faith. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Sing it now. His holy name. He has done great things. He has done great things. Yes, He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless His holy name. Father God, we bow in Your presence this day, thanking You, Lord Jesus, for the truths that have come to us, Lord. Not because we deserve them, or not because we have good minds, but Lord, rather, You have allowed us to tap into the mind of Christ through a ministry that has come in this last day. For us to be able to have insight and clarity about things that were in obscurity through the ages, but now we can see and understand. Father, go to those prophets who are projecting and they're prophesying, looking ahead to days when all of this would happen and the Ancient of Days would come into His time. And now, Lord Jesus, we're living in this great hour where You have come to us in the form of a message, Lord, that has now given us an invisible union, possibility of an invisible union between the bride and the bridegroom. We might leave here, Lord, step into eternity by faith and not by death. Father God, we are excited about the days we live in. We're excited, Lord, because there are changes that are being made. They're not changes, Lord, that are authored by You, but authored by forces in this world that are contrary and operate contrary to the mind of Christ. We thank You, Lord Jesus, because You've made a place of escape. You set us up upon a rock. Time of trouble. You are preserving us, Lord, in this day. Help us, Lord, to be like Daniel, to throw the windows open and to be unafraid. Be able to worship You, Lord, in spirit and in truth. Speak to our hearts. Speak words of comfort to us. Lord, we'll give You praise and honor in Jesus Christ's lovely name. Bless the people. Minister to those who are sick. Lord, may our faith be raised and may we reach out, Lord, claiming those promises that are ours. Lord, may we support one another in prayer and in mercy and in grace extended to one another. Lord Jesus, help us, I pray. May this place, may this building always be a place where the Holy Spirit is welcome to come. We'll give You praise and honor in Jesus' name. you, Jesus. This is my desire. Sing this as we go this morning. The anchor holds in a time of trouble. The anchor holds in a time of great stress and difficulty. A good anchor lodged on a solid rock, that's what matters. That's what's important. Do we have the words of that one? The anchor holds. Sing it as you go this morning. The ship is battered. Bye.